This is a production of Cornell University.
Hi, everyone. I hope you all had a really great week. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. Kiara, if you could start with the roll call.
Lila Abed El Jameed.
Present.
Dylan Ondekat.
Present.
Morgan Baker.
Present.
Genevieve Bansaw.
Here, thank you.
Katarina Bentley.
Here.
Kayla Butler.
Here.
Carlo Castillo.
Present.
Uchenna Chukwukere.
Present.
Lucy Contreras.
Present.
Annette Gleiberman.
Present.
Sonu Kapoor.
Present.
Amari Lampert.
Present.
Andrea Miramento Serrano.
Present.
Evan Moy.
Present.
Jocelyn Noriega.
Unexcused.
Estefania Perez.
Unexcused.
She's here. Her mic might not be working, but she's here.
Okay, thank you. Tomas Renning.
Here.
Kate Santa Cruz.
I think she's here. Yeah.
Okay. Mardia Shardo.
Unexcused, unless she's here and mic's not working.
Lucas Smith. Oh, is she here?
Is that it logged me out? But yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Waldai.
Here.
Valentina Shu.
Here.
Johan Yuan.
Here.
Raquel Zohar.
Here.
Lucas Zumpano.
Here.
Samuel Z.
Here.
And Catherine Wong.
Here. Can we get the member count?
I have 29.
Thank you so much. All right, 29 members present. The time is 4:52. I'm officially calling the meeting to order. I will begin with the land acknowledgement of the Gayogono. Okay, Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayogono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayogono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayogono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayogono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Alrighty. We'll now be continuing with the agenda. Let's move into announcements and presentations. Noah?
Yep. So we have Annalie, if you want to present briefly.
Hi, everyone. So this is just a quick announcement on the behalf of the Office of the Student Advocate. So I just wanted to update you all that Katarina Restrepo, class of 21, she's going to be serving as our Director of Finance for the Office of the Student Advocate and a voting member. She's been serving in the position since over the summer, but I just wanted to update the Student Assembly now that we have our new term. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Annalie. And then we also have Lucas Smith.
Yep. Hi, everyone. Putting a link in the chat first to start. So the link in the chat is to Tompkins County's website. Over the next couple of weeks, including tomorrow, Tompkins County and the City of Ithaca jointly are holding these Reimagining Public Safety forums. And essentially, they're designed to get community input about recent interactions people have had with law enforcement, what are people's trust in policing, and just general thoughts on public safety. So again, that's a direct chance to interact with the mayor is usually on the call. Some of the county administrator who we heard from last week is usually in attendance. So certainly that's been a topic that's been of interest for this group. And I think it'd be awesome if people were able to attend that over the next couple of weeks and share their thoughts.
Thank you for sharing, Lucas. Next we have Annie. Okay, if not, Kat, do you want to go?
Oh, sorry.
You're muted again, Annie.
Oh. I just wanted to give a quick announcement that the Research and Accountability Forum is now live. I will drop the link in the chat. Please feel free to use it. It can be anonymous or not, depending on what you would like, and all things on the forum will be taken up by the Research and Accountability.
Thank you, Annie. And Kat?
Great, thank you. I have four announcements. The first one is I think our roll call or vote, our voting member count is actually 28, just to make a note of that for our minutes. I think we counted a member who's actually not present. The second update I have is that from President Pollack, actually. So a couple of weeks ago, I emailed President Pollack, I think the morning of Election Day, actually, so last week. And I had co-signed a joint letter with a couple other of our peer institutions and some Ivy League student presidents, led by the Yale student body president. And it basically called for each of our respective universities to move to declare Election Day a university holiday, just to allow all students, faculty to participate in the civic process. And I happily got a response back from President Pollack yesterday, or I think earlier this week, where she recognized that she saw my letter and said that she would be taking this into account with moving forward when we're establishing the academic calendar. So there we go. Noah, do you have a question or just, oh, sorry. Okay. I have two more announcements, if I can remember all of them. The first one is that I see we have a lot of guests here today, which is wonderful. I'm going to send a link in the chat. It's a link to our standing rules, which are the rules that govern every single SA meeting. Please feel free to give these a look for all of our guests. I would especially direct you to Section 6, General Meeting Procedures. Check out rules 1 through 8, maybe, just so you're all clear on it's the chair's discretion to recognize community members. I will be giving SA members preference in speaking time during this meeting, most likely. And if you would like to speak as a community member ahead of time, I think you should ask an SA member to cede time to you. I will try to make every effort to recognize community members, but understanding that we have kind of a busy agenda, we'll have to see. And then my last announcement is actually a motion to amend the agenda. So as chair, I would look favorably upon a motion to amend the agenda to remove resolution 10, actually. So this is a resolution, I co-sponsored it. It was brought by the People's Organizing Collective, and it is a calling for the president's office to respond to one of our resolutions that had been written and voted upon last spring. We actually just received a response from the president's office yesterday, so we'll no longer need to discuss this resolution today. So is there a motion to amend the agenda?
Motion to amend the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Is there any dissent? Seeing as there is no dissent, we'll move into voting. Please vote yes if you agree to amend the agenda. I'm going to close voting in about 10 seconds. So please cast your vote. and only SA voting members may vote. Wonderful. Still waiting on a few votes. If you are not voting, okay, if you dissent, you can click no. Okay, great, I see it's getting some votes and still. Perfect, okay, 27-0-1, that motion passes. So now our agenda will just start with resolution number 11. Back to Noah really quickly to finish up announcements and presentations.
Yes, so I think that's all we have for today for announcements, but then I'm gonna move into open microphones. So if any member of the community wishes to speak on any issues that are not on our agenda, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I'll leave it open for about 20 seconds. Okay, seeing that there are no hands raised, I'm going to close open microphone and hand it back to Kat.
Thank you so much, Noah. Okay, great. We're going to move ahead with our agenda and begin with resolution number 11, calling for the disarmament of the CUPD. I'm going to allow our sponsors to present for about 5 minutes if you would like to present the resolution, include any information about it. And then from there, we will... we'll move into a speakers list. I will be establishing some more rules after I allow the sponsors to present, just for our guests who might be a little unfamiliar with the essay. But first, I'll allow the sponsors to go ahead. The floor is yours.
Great. Hi, everyone. So I'm one of the co-sponsors of Resolution 11, calling for the disarmament of CUPD, along with my other presenters. If y'all want to go ahead real quick and you know, for those who are helping present today, just say your name, just so people are familiar with who else is presenting.
Hey everyone, I'm Lucy. I'm the first gen rep and I'll also be presenting.
Hi everyone, my name's Kat and I'll also be presenting today for the resolution.
Hi, my name is Tomas. I'm the LGBTQIA plus liaison at large and I will also be sponsoring this resolution.
I'm Stephanie, I'm Arts and Science Rep. I am sponsoring this as well.
Okay, so we're just gonna go right ahead. So this is building off of the teaching that we had last week about police disarmament that we brought forth to the SA. So this resolution is a follow-up to it. I think, you know, as I go through the resolution, I just really want to preface that a lot of this has kind of been in the, been a long time coming to get to this resolution, just because we see the issues that we have with policing, not only in our nation, but the fact that we have, you know, some, yes, would you or co-sponsor like to share your screen? Yes, I don't mind sharing my screen. Do I have access? Okay, one moment. Okay, can everybody see? Okay, great. So anyways, I guess to get right into it. So this resolution is calling for the disarmament of the Cornell University Police Department. And this is really prefacing the fact that policing is in America is rooted in racism, slavery, corruption, and violence, especially against black and brown people. And American law enforcement, as we know it today, was started from slave patrols and union busters, which were squadrons of white volunteers that were used to enforce laws, capture or enforce laws related to slavery by capturing and returning enslaved people, trying to crush uprisings, punishing enslaved workers, among a lot of other egregious things that were taking place back then. And have transformed into what it looks like, policing looks like today. So policing has upheld and enforced a lot of racist laws and policies that have been disproportionately affected people of color, especially black and brown people. And I'll just cede the next sponsors to present the next parts.
Yeah, sure. I know I covered this last week, but for folks who weren't there, ugly laws were laws that essentially prohibited people with noticeable like physical presenting disabilities from visiting public spaces. These laws started back from 1860 all the way to the 1970s, and they disproportionately targeted folks at the intersection of race, income, and disability status. Yeah, I can pass it off to the next presenter.
Lucy.
Sorry, can you scroll up? I was it's the part with that talks about the current other actions in other college campuses. Okay, so yeah, so a lot of you are probably wondering like if other universities are also putting forth similar initiatives to disarm their police departments. And also wondering whether there are any college campuses that have already disarmed their police departments. And so the answer to both of those questions is yes. And we cited some examples here in the resolution. The first one is Portland State University, which disarmed their campus police this fall. The police officers will now conduct patrols without firearms, but are still permitted non-lethal tasers. And this was a response to a fatal shooting of Jason Washington on the PSU campus. So one thing that we want to ensure that everyone knows is that we don't believe that Cornell should wait for a tragedy like this to occur in order to disarm CUPD. Another college campus that has also unarmed their police force is the Massachusetts College of Art and Design. And the campus police actually tried to regain their firearms, but a petition with over 550 students and community members urged the Board of Trustees to keep the police officers unarmed. And we also have other initiatives going on in other campuses, like the University of Chicago. We have some in Harvard also, and in Yale. And the Yale one came about after police officers fired 16 shots into the cars of two unarmed Black youths in 2009. Again, we don't think that Cornell should wait for something like this to occur for us to take action. And so to conclude, I want to read our ending statements, which is, be it therefore resolved, supporting data and trends overwhelmingly show that police on college campuses should not have access to lethal weapons, as it is unnecessary and proves to increase the likelihood of danger / use of lethal force rather than decrease or resolve situations. And the second one is, be it finally resolved, Cornell University must take action by immediately disarming the Cornell University Police Department of all lethal weapons.
And then if I could just say, before we start the discussion, I'd encourage everyone for just a moment to sit and think about the last time you felt that you needed to call the police, why you felt you needed to call the police, why you felt that having the police be armed was necessary, why you feel safer with guns, etc. Before we start the discussion, I think it's really important for us to really think about the implications of armament, what that means for communities, what that means for individuals on this campus. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you so much to the co-sponsors of this resolution. Is that the end of your presentation? Yes? Perfect.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Before we get started with the speakers list, I'm going to send a few reminders in the chat. First of all, please do not use the chat for anything. I'm going to be using the chat to send time reminders of when your speaking time limit is up. I think it's really important that we don't clutter up the chat. Right now, I am going to send some rules from our standing rules I'd like to remind everyone of. I'm also going to read them aloud so we have them on the record. So this comes from section 6 of our standing rules, which again, for new folks, the standing rules govern every single student assembly meeting. These have been voted upon by the full SA at the beginning of every academic year. So these come from section 6, which is general meeting procedures. So section 6, rule number 4, except for points of order, information, and questions of privilege, no person shall be recognized by the chair twice before all other members, voting, committee, and ex officio have had the opportunity to speak. So this means I'll be keeping only 2 speakers lists, and you will not be allowed to speak more than twice until everyone has had the chance to speak twice. Rule number 5, the chair will recognize the members of the community who wish to speak on the question. This chair will have discretion as to when community members are recognized. Each speaker will limit his or her or their comments to no more than 2 minutes. If multiple speakers wish to address the student assembly, equal opportunity will be given to those in favor of or opposed. So to clarify, this means that as chair, I have discretion over when I will be recognizing non-SA members, so community members. If you are a community member, you are more than welcome to put your hand up in the chat, but I will likely not be recognizing them before any SA member. So this means I'll be giving SA members preference on the speakers list. And if you are a community member who wishes to interrupt that speakers list and be heard before any other SA member, you have to ask an SA member to cede their time to you. Does that make sense to everyone? Okay, and if you have a question, please say like point of information in the chat. Otherwise, I will begin the speakers list. Again, this is for firstly only recognizing SA members. I see two SA point of information from Amari. First of all, yes, go for it.
Oh, I just had a question about the proposal. So I was just wondering if you disarm the police, what would be...
Point of information is for like I'm going to would you rather say this when you're on the speakers list? Okay, great. So Yohan is actually no worries. Yohan is actually before you on the speakers list, and then we'll get to you right afterwards. Okay. And then for all speakers, you have 2 minutes to speak. I will send a 30-second time reminder when you hit, you know, you have 30 seconds left. First on the speakers list is Yohan. Yohan, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes. I'll send a 30-second reminder.
Sure. I'm in the library, so I speak kind of low. So please, I apologize. But thank you guys for the resolution. I think it's very important to for us to start thinking about the relationship between students and the police presence on campus. But I guess my questions for the sponsors of the resolution is that what are your guys' vision for police presence on campus? Like the presentation last time, you mentioned there are different kinds of disarmament for campus police. You have the option say there are no weapons on the campus police department. You have the option saying, you know, officers don't carry firearm with them, but may carry firearm in their, for example, patrol car. Or maybe they have a dispatch center saying, you know, if there's an incident require, you know, dispatch of actual armed police officer, you know, they can dispatch that. So what are you guys' vision for that? Because I guess there are a lot of people's concern about this resolution is that if there is a case saying there are a need for armed officer present, if we disarm the CUPD, you know, no firearm at all, and we say we do not want the IPD to be present on campus as well, what's going to happen? There are students concerned about that. So I'm interested to hear your opinions on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I can answer this. So,
okay, sorry. just Mariah, you have 2 minutes, and any other sponsor who wishes to speak, I'll send a 30-second reminder. Mariah, the floor is yours.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So yeah, I guess to answer your question, I think I maybe mentioned this last week as well, but I guess like think about the last time you interacted with the police and like, were guns ever necessary? Like I guess our point with this is that like, how often are like lethal weapons necessary when police are like brought to any type of like incident, right? Like I actually do ask you, like I'm actually asking a real question, like, when was the last time a police used a gun to protect you? Like, has that ever happened in your entire life? Like, is that necessary? And like, why is that necessary? And the police can do their job without lethal weapons. And so like, I guess, yeah, like, I guess that's the point is that like, I know in my lifetime, I've never seen police like actually pull the trigger on a gun. And I mean, I don't interact with the police often. I try and avoid the police at all costs, but like in general, like, yeah, when was the last time that you encountered the police and a gun was used in order to protect you, like actually used to keep you safe?
Thank you, Mariah. Do any of the co-sponsors wish to answer? You guys would have 1 minute left to respond. Mm-hmm. And if not, that's okay.
Yeah, and really to just echo what Mariah was saying, I think when you ask the question of like, what do you envision for, or like, what do I think of like policing on campus would look like? I think it really stems from the fact that, like, you know, me, like, where policing is right now, right? Like, if you're put in place to protect me, you're supposed to keep me safe. You know, there's no reason why when I'm around a police officer or I'm around someone around someone who's a part of CUPD, right? There's no reason why I should feel more afraid than I would have if they're not there, right? And, you know, I think about the fact that, like, you know, there's a varying amount of, like, situations that happen on college campuses where CUPD or having armed officers is not necessary. We'll go into it a little bit later. I know others will talk about it, but like when we're talking about mental health crises, right? We can also see the incident that just happened over in Philadelphia where Black man was having a mental health crisis, right? And he needed help. He didn't need armed police officers there to eventually gun him down. That was not necessary. And so I think of it in the same way. Like when I'm here on campus, I don't feel safe around CUPD, right? And so I want, if we're looking for something to protect us, right? I want something that actually makes that happen for all people, especially people of color.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Johan, for your question and for Myra and Uche for responding. I will continue with the speakers list. And again, I will be recognizing SA members first on the speakers list. I see we have two committee members with your hands up. You'll be recognized after all SA members have been given the chance to speak. Okay, so continuing with the speakers list of SA members, we have Amari next. Amari, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes and I'll send a 30-second reminder.
Okay, so my first question was basically the exact same as Johan, but you guys already answered it, about what your vision would be if we did completely disarm the police. And then my second one was, I don't really know the answer to this question, so I was wondering if you guys knew if there are mental health workers and social workers on this campus that could handle what the police would be called for rather instead of what they usually come for. Like, do we have that system in place already, or would we have to work to make that system?
Mari, thank you for your question. Sponsors, if you'd like to respond, you have 2 minutes.
Currently, no, we don't have a system like that in place. And so we would need to put that together. Like, it's not in place. We have people who could respond, but they, the university just hasn't put together a response team for that.
I would say the closest thing we have at the moment would be like residential staff. But I also think it's unfair to place that kind of burden on RAs and even RHDs. That being said, like, would our resources that we currently use to give CUPD guns be better spent getting a mental health like crisis response team together? Absolutely. Like, for example, I had a friend who graduated in 2019 and her mother passed away in the middle of her junior year. And the response from Cornell was to send police officers to her room. And mind you, she is a Black woman, and they sent police officers to her room to inform her of this because they're worried about the potential like mental health crisis that might ensue. But you realize that kind of cognitive dissonance, that your response to someone's potential mental health distress over the death of a parent would be to send armed police officers to their room. And like, that's kind of the kind of response that we're trying to deconstruct and get rid of.
Perfect. Any other co-sponsors wish to speak? You have 45 seconds. All right. I have a point of information from Kayla. Just a reminder, point of information is used to interrupt the speakers list, and it usually has to do with, you usually have to be asking a question that's relevant to what's being discussed currently. Kayla, the floor is yours.
I'm not sure if like this like works with my information, but we discussed earlier in the year with the VP and the president that there was a unit that was in the works that was an alternative to the police department that I think is a very good step forward towards creating a safer space for different responses for minority students, for disabled students, for mental health cases, that in which the police would not be called. So we are making those motions towards alternative options. They are in the works. So I think we should keep that in mind as we move forward.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Kayla, you were cutting out a lot. So like a lot of what you were saying was kind of hazy.
I think I got most of it. Basically, the gist is that a response team like this is currently in the works, and she's saying that it's good steps forward and that for minorities, LGBT students, et cetera, on campus, and that those things are currently in the works. So it's not like they don't exist at all.
Perfect. Tomas, thank you so much for clarifying. And Kayla, thank you for sharing your point of information. Really appreciate that. Moving forward with the speakers list, I'm going to recognize Dylan as an SA member. You have 2 minutes. I'll send a 1 minute or 30 second reminder. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Let me start by thanking and commending the members of the community for joining. It's so good to see this outreach and this engagement in such an important discussion. I have just a couple of points and some questions. So 2 weeks ago, this very student assembly voted to ban the Ithaca Police Department from the Cornell campus. And today we
were... Point of information. Thank you. We didn't vote to ban it. We just voted to dissolve ties with IPD. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Uche, for that point of information and clarification. Dylan, back to you. You have a minute and 30 seconds.
Thank you. So 2 weeks ago, this very student assembly voted to dissolve ties with the Ithaca Police Department. And today we're voting to disarm the CUPD. Now, it seems hard to pass these resolutions without a clear alternative and solution in place. Now, I completely understand the concerns. I completely think that it's very over the top to have armed police officers walking through dorm rooms on a regular basis. Is there perhaps a medium that we can come to? Say, for example, police officers leave their weapons in their cars and they only carry them on them if they're responding to violence or an attack. I think something like that would be more reasonable and more effective than this. I think this is a very bold resolution. And I also can't help but think it's a sort of resolution that the university administration will just toss out and not really pay much attention to, which, you know, as we see, is becoming increasingly common with SA resolutions. So perhaps if we, compromised on this and made it, you know, less bold, it would have a greater potential for success. And onto the point, one of the co-sponsors said that we should disarm CUPD to prevent an armed attack happening on people. But I would also use that argument to say that we're lucky that we haven't needed CUPD to defend us with their weapons. But that could arise in the future. So why don't we be preemptive and maintain a police department that is able to protect us when something like that does arise? Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Dylan, for that comment. A quick point of information. I think, Dylan, you mentioned that it seems like the president's office just seems to be like throwing out resolutions. I would like to recognize that I don't think that's exactly the case. Like I just mentioned earlier in the meeting how she actually responded to two of her resolutions just this week. So I would like to remind folks that people do actually read our resolutions and the administration does recognize and take them into account. But I will now allow the sponsors to respond. You guys have 2 minutes. I will send time reminders in the chat.
Yeah, I guess I can start with this one again and I'll address this the same way that I addressed Johan's point, is that it's like, how often do you need like an armed police officer? Like when has it ever been necessary that you needed a gun, a taser, etc., in order for you to feel safe? Like I like cannot think of a time when that was ever necessary in the 20 years that I've been alive. I don't know if maybe that's been the case for you, but like you bring up these hypotheticals of like what if, and it's like, well, have those what ifs ever like occurred in like however old you are, like in the years that you've been alive? Like I know for me it hasn't, and I think that for many people that would also be the case. And then to your other point about like, what do we do again with the hypotheticals, like what do we do, et cetera, et cetera. Like I mentioned this also a few weeks ago of like, it's not the role of abolitionists. It's not the job of abolitionists to always have measures intact for like what's going to happen later. I brought this up with slavery as well. Like when slavery was being abolished, there were a lot of people who were like, well, what are we going to do now? We don't have this free labor, et cetera. That's none of my business. The world will continue to revolve. Like slavery should still be abolished. Like I don't really understand like really how to like communicate this with you, and that like just because there's no like immediate resolution or like immediate like this is exactly what's going to happen doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen. And so I guess I'll just leave you with that. I don't know if the co-sponsors have anything they wanted to add.
I just wanted to add something because I know the hypothetical y'all are like bringing up when you say, well, we're lucky we haven't needed it, is you're referring to like mass shootings and school shootings. But I really don't know of any documentation of an event where a school police officer actually prevented a mass shooting from happening. I'm from South Florida, and I have friends who were at Stoneman Douglas when that shooting happened. And the school police officer left the school. He was off campus. He did not go into that building despite hearing gunshots. So in that situation, having an armed police officer on the campus didn't make a difference. And you look at Virginia Tech, there were armed police officers on that campus. That didn't stop the 30-something deaths from happening either, and instead probably resulted in multiple individual incidents of unnecessary police violence to students.
Okay, great. Thank you to the sponsors for your answers. I will be continuing with the speakers list. And again, for our community members, you'll be recognized after all SA members have been given the chance to speak in accordance to rule number 5 in our standing rules. So for SA members, we have Valentina next on the speakers list. Valentina, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Kat, and thank you everyone that presented. My question is actually not a hypothetical situation. I just thought of this in a post-COVID world. Cornell hosts a lot of high-profile special guests on campus for events. My question is more about, I don't know the process of, how usually they coordinate their safety. So I was wondering if those disarmed Cornell police will be responsible for their safety, and if that's going to be a concern, would that impact, I guess, them coming to campus? This is more just information.
Most high profile guests that we have here have their own security details. When we had Sonia Sotomayor, she was not being guarded by CUPD. She was definitely being guarded by people way more qualified than CUPD. In all seriousness, CUPD is not trained enough to be responsible for people of that high of a caliber. Most of those people have private security details.
Awesome. Valentina, thank you for your question. Tomas, thank you for the response. If any of you want to respond, please raise your hand again so I can place you on the second speaker's list. All right. I did have Annie earlier on the speaker's list, and I had to skip over her because she was not ready to present, but I will be returning to her right now. Annie, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes.
First off, I want to thank the sponsors for bringing this because I think it is an important topic overall. I want to say a few things. First of all, I personally have felt the need for the CUPD when it's been walk home. I've used that program multiple times before. I have felt good knowing a CUPD officer there. They have a weapon. They can save me walking home. This is at 3-4 a.m. at night after a long night in Nolan studying. So I personally have used the CUPD myself before, and I think they do good, especially as a woman very late at night. I have felt very unsafe on this campus. I want to say that I think the parts of resolution that are phenomenal. I love the fact that it talks about that police should not respond to calls concerning mental health crisis, that police should not be called when there is anything relating to alcohol or drug abuse. I currently, if we went to a vote today, I would vote no because I do not believe in disarming all the CUP, but there are parts of this resolution that I like, and I think that there are other SA members who might feel the same way.
Okay, Annie. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Was there a question, or were you just sharing?
I wanted to hear their thoughts on that.
Okay. Annie, thank you for sharing. Co-sponsors, you have 2 minutes to respond, and I'll be sending time reminders in the chat. Floor is yours, co-sponsors.
I wanted to take a second, just a few seconds, to answer a little bit of Annie's question, comment. Annie, I know you were saying how you really appreciate CUPD for the blue light aspect, and you feel safer when they walk with you because you're a woman and at nighttime. Trust me, I understand. I'm terrified walking alone at night as well. But the difference between me and you is I've never used the blue light because that scares me even more. Having CUPD to walk with me home is one of my biggest fears. I've tried to avoid them as much as I can in this climate, in this world. Instead, I just try to protect myself in my own way. I've never once used the blue light situation. So although your point is very valid, but it's valid to you, it's not valid for all women on campus. I think that's very important to know.
Thank you so much, Salam, for your response. Co-sponsors, you still have 1 minute left if you would like to respond as well.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that, like similarly to Salam, like as a Black woman, it's hard to ever like really imagining calling the police for like anything. But further from that, I guess like again, like even if you felt safer with like someone walking you home, did that person need to be armed? Like for what reason did like you feeling safer being walked home like necessitate a gun being like in his holster? I guess is like my point. It's like, yeah, I understand like wanting to walk home with someone, you're alone, it's dark, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, but like a gun was necessary for that safety? Question mark.
Thank you, Mariah. If any other co-sponsors like to speak, you will have 30 seconds left. And if not, we can continue. Okay.
Could anyone, if there's time left, I would love if they would respond to the second point as well.
I can put you on the second speaker's list.
Just that like there are parts of this bill that I think are very vital, like that the police should not respond to calls about mental health and that police should not be called to deal with the drug and alcohol thing, and that personally like I would vote on a bill if it was just talking about that, but in the bill in its current form I would not be comfortable with it.
Okay, thank you, Annie. And you're asking for co-sponsors to respond to your second point?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks for your statement. Awesome. We're not taking amendments.
Perfect. Thank you. If co-sponsors did want to respond, you would have 30 seconds. If not, I will continue with the speakers list.
Yeah, so I guess to respond to that second point, like I get it. Like there are definitely parts, like for sure, like we shouldn't want CUPD to respond to calls for mental health crises. We shouldn't want CUPD to respond to calls about drugs and alcohol. And I think the same thing still stands about not having CUPD armed. And I think that a lot of it is really stemming from the fact that like, you have to take a look at the different factors and read the room and look at the different people who are like talking against CUPD, right? And think about like all the people of color who have, been brutalized, who have been murdered over the past year with police just having being armed in general. There are studies out there that show that when you arm police, they are more likely to actually use those lethal weapons. And so the fact of the matter is, it's just like, you're coming from a standpoint, your standpoint is like valid. And like, you know, I can't take away that experience from you, but you also cannot invalidate the experiences and the fears and the worries of all other people of color, especially coming from like marginalized groups.
Great. Thank you, Uche, for that response. Okay. I will be continuing with the speakers list. Raquel, could you rename yourself as SA? And then you will be recognized next on the speakers list as an SA member.
That's not me.
Oh,
I think that's a different Raquel.
Okay. Sorry, other Raquel. I will not be recognizing you yet as you're not an SA member, but you will have a chance to speak once all SA members have the chance to speak. Perfect. Thank you for that clarification, SA Raquel. I'll be moving forward with the speakers list of student assembly members. Claire, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes.
Hi. I'd just like to thank the sponsors again for putting in the work to write this resolution to present it. I just have sort of a clarification question. When you specify about like lethal weapons, obviously that includes handguns, but would that also include like tasers or batons or anything else the police generally use?
Okay, thank you, Claire, for that question. Co-sponsors, you'll have 2 minutes to respond. You don't have to respond either. You can just let me know if you'd like to return to this.
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. I was just waiting, but yes, it does.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay, continuing with the speakers list. We're going to stick with the SA members. I'm so sorry to community members, but again, I will recognize you after the SA speakers list is finished. Morgan Baker, you are next on the speakers list of student assembly members. And just a quick reminder for my SA members, you may yield your time to community members if they wish to speak. You just have to, I will call on you when you're on the speakers list. You can say, I will cede my time to a community member, and they will also have 2 minutes to speak if they would like to interrupt the speakers list to speak during the SA speakers list. But returning to our speakers list, Morgan, the floor is yours.
I have a quick question. So as it's written, this resolution recommends that we completely disarm CUPD of all lethal weapons. And of course, I agree that CUPD should not dispatch armed police officers in the event of a safety and security emergency. At the same time, in pre-COVID times, we would receive crime reports quite frequently. So my question is, in the event that a violent crime occurs, like a robbery, stabbing, murder, or even an extreme crime, would CUPD need to rely on ICP for backup?
Okay, sorry. Did I miss the end of the question?
Okay, I'll restate it. So in the event that a violent crime occurs, like a robbery, stabbing, murder, or extreme crime, will CUPD need to rely on IPD for backup? Like, I just want to make sure that police officers aren't rendered defenseless, like in the event that a violent crime occurs.
Okay, thank you for your question, Morgan. Co-sponsors, you'd have 2 minutes to respond.
I would like to point out that in most incidences of gun violences, police officers are able to detain the perpetrator without using lethal force. So with that in mind, that's why we take the position that CUPD shouldn't be armed, because they're able to do it without using lethal force or using their weapons. So we don't see the need for CUPD to have weapons, nor would we want IPD to be called when we just called for IPD, the dissolvement of ties with them a couple weeks ago. We don't want folks to have guns when interacting with students. And even that even applies to violent acts. Even in cases of mass shootings, I can send you literature if you're interested. Police don't stop mass shootings. I think Tomas mentioned this earlier. Perpetrators like stop on their own volition because these events happen within minutes. So I think we want to take the position of taking more preventative measures in terms of mental health resources, like Uche was mentioning earlier, and also making sure people are going through proper background checks. I know a couple years ago, or even a few years ago, there was a former Cornell student who had an arsenal of guns that were illegally detained. So I think we should be focusing on preventative measures rather than talking about what if hypothetical situations of gun violence, when we know that lethal force isn't necessary. And even if it's used, we don't even know if it was necessary in those instances either.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, you mentioned like things like burglaries. Most of the time when you're calling the police, it's after the crime already happened, in which case a police officer having a gun when they arrive to basically just take a police report isn't helpful to the situation. And especially, let's say you're the victim of a crime where someone drew a gun on you. Someone else entering your space with a gun is not going to necessarily make you feel safer. No, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but it would not make me feel safer. So yeah, I think, and again, things like mass shootings happen in minutes. By the time the police get there, like their possession of a gun, if they even take action, which things like Stoneman Douglas show they don't, doesn't necessarily mean it will help. So yeah.
Time is up. Okay, thank you for those questions and the responses. I'll be continuing with the speakers list. And also just to clarify, we did have timestamps on your agenda because we were under the assumption that we would have another resolution on the agenda for today. Because we amended the agenda to remove that resolution, we will not be following the timestamp strictly, but I will be I might have to place additional limits on speaking time if we do start to go over time, but we haven't reached that point yet. I will send a reminder when we do get to that point. Alrighty, continue with the speakers list of SA members and committee members. I am recognizing your hands, and again, I will recognize you all after. SA members have been allowed a chance to speak at least once on our speakers list. Okay, wow, lots of hands, okay. Salam, you haven't had a chance to speak on the speakers list, only at this sponsor, but so you will be recognizing the first speakers list right now. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, okay, so I just wanted to make a comment. One, aside from the fact, just thank you for all the people who came and presented today. And I kind of wanted to reiterate what Mariah was saying about, think about the last time you called CUPD, if ever, and if their weapons was necessary, you know, if ever. And I really want SA members to take the time and really try to empathize with other students on campus, students of color, minorities, just anyone who is not, you aren't in their shoes, to understand the type of fear I know I have when I see a police officer. The second I see a police officer, even especially with any sort of weapon, it's like that feeling of fear, I don't think you could really understand unless you were in our shoes. It's just something that I really feel like that we should take into consideration with this resolution, that a lot of students on campus don't feel comfortable with a force that it's supposed to protect us. So that was all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Salam. I'll be moving forward with the speakers list. Next we have Lucas Smith. Lucas, the floor is yours. You have 2 minutes.
Okay, yeah, so I'll just pose a question that could be answered later, and then I want to yield time to the community members going down that list, but curious to hear about where the status of the police oversight committee that we created or asked was created. So if we can speak on that later, but like to give at least a minute to community members.
Great. Do you have a certain community member you would like to cede time to?
Just the start of the list. Just the
start of the list? Sure. Sham? You have a minute and 20 seconds to speak right now because Lucas has ceded time to you. The floor is yours. I'll send time reminders.
All right, thank you very much. So first off, the point I wanted to make is that a lot of you have been saying, you know, law enforcement makes, you know, minority individuals on campus feel unsafe. But I just wanted to take a second to put out the idea that is entirely subjective. I myself am a brown minority American, and I've had multiple interactions with law enforcement on this campus as a freshman. I have never once felt unsafe around them. So the feeling of safety is subjective, but what is not subjective is the actual safety of the student body. Now, since the El Paso shooting, this is a Guardian article, law enforcement has stopped at least 7 mass shootings. On December 12th, 2019, there were 6 Dayton police officers who stopped a mass shooting in Ohio. So you see multiple instances of law enforcement stopping mass shootings with force. And the fact of the matter is, just because it hasn't happened yet, which actually it has. In the 80s there was a shooting on Cornell, which led to the deaths of 2 innocent people. So the fact that right now you don't see a need for law enforcement having arms does not mean that that opportunity will not arise. And when that opportunity does arise, I would rather the student body be objectively protected by armed police officers than having our safety subjected to the subjective opinions of the student body on how police officers are.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you for that comment. Co-sponsors, you will have 2 minutes to respond. The floor is yours. I'll send a time reminder.
Okay. I think one thing that we really need to keep in mind throughout this entire conversation is the fact that your one lived experience it does not define the experiences of all other people. So just because you are one person of color who maybe doesn't feel unsafe around CUPD does not discount the experiences or the literal lived experiences of all other people of color. You do not speak for all of us. And the fact of the matter is we've done a lot of community outreach. Talk to a lot of people. A lot of us are coming from lived experiences with this. So I think we all need to just get out of our minds that just because maybe CUPD was nice to you that one time, or CUPD maybe did this and that for you, that does not mean that CUPD wasn't always also doing other things to other people that made them feel terrible or made them feel unsafe. So I just really wanted to kind of put that point out there. I don't know if other co-sponsors also want to respond to any other parts of that.
Yeah, I'd also like to express that shootings are not common. From what I know, they're very rare, and most incidences of crime on campus that Morgan was speaking to earlier are related to robbery, which again does not require lethal force. You see way more instances of police brutality happening when comparing to school shootings or mass shootings in general. So again, our policy like reflects the lived experiences of people of color rather than the small instances that you think that a police officer would stop a mass shooting from occurring, which wouldn't be likely as we detailed earlier.
Yeah, I just want to say that if we want to prevent school shootings, what we need to do is we need to have more mental health resources. We need policies that ban assault weapons, and we need universal background checks. We're not going to prevent school shootings by bringing in more guns to schools.
Also, you referenced the Dayton, Ohio shooting. I just want you to know that in 32 seconds, 10 people were killed and 17 others were injured in just 32 seconds, right? Those lives don't come back just because the police were there to kill that man, right? If those mental health resources had been there to prevent, or the universal background checks had been there to prevent the shooting in the first place, that would be far more effective than giving more people more weapons and creating a cycle of violence. And also, just going off what Uche said about, like, respecting...
I'm so sorry. Time is up, but if you would like to return to this, you can go in the speakers list. So sorry. Okay. I will be continuing with the speakers list. Kayla, because you've already spoken once in the speakers list, you're on the second list. Mardia, you have not spoken, yes. You're still on the first list. Mardia, the floor is yours, unless you'd like to cede time to a community member.
Hi, yes. As a Dyson student rep, I'm yielding my time to one of my constituents, Zion. This is, by the way, not me sponsoring and co-signing anything they have to say. I don't want anybody to hold me to anything. Thank you.
Thank you so much for clarifying, Mardia. Zion, the floor is yours. You do have 2 minutes.
Absolutely. I want to thank you first for yielding your time, and that's completely accurate. I just sent her a private message, and she was willing to let me do that, so I really do appreciate it. That said, I was the president at my old school before transferring here at a community college, and we actually had somebody in the basement of our library one day go onto social media and say how he was going to shoot up the school, and we had police come in. It was a little bit of an incident. The person was unarmed, but they said they were going to go get arms and come back later that evening to do the shooting. That said, I saw the effects that a lot of students had. They were very shooken up by the incident, even though the person was unarmed at the time. That said, a lot of students asked the logistics if a shooting did happen, and a lot of them felt very comfortable that a officer was on the second floor of the library who was armed at the time. And that's something that they brought up, that we would have somebody there if a shooter were to come in with a couple of handguns. No, would it stop all shooting? Possibly not. Would it stop excess violence? Probably. So my question to the sponsors here are, how would the SA respond if there was a school shooting and more people died due to the fact that police weren't armed? And how would you personally respond as the SA that sponsored the resolution that resulted in police not having the proper equipment to reduce the amount of life lost? And just also, that's assuming that the students could be non-Cornell students. So sometimes mental health resources will help our students, but we often will have shooters from off campus that aren't students coming to our school. I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Co-sponsors, if you'd like to respond, you have 2 minutes. If not, we can continue on the speakers list.
I would like to say that, like, Zion, it happened at the community college, but in the story that you just told, it sounded like no lethal force was necessary to stop the student because the student didn't have any lethal weapons at the time that he sent out that tweet. So the police or any other person would have been able to approach that situation without using any guns or any lethal weapons. Is that correct?
My question was regarding if the individual had not been caught with a tweet, but had actually come back to campus armed, because it's fairly easy to come into campus with a backpack with weapons in it. I hate to say, but it's very factual. There's no like checking system or anything like that.
Yeah, I would just like to point again to all the points we've made earlier. I think we've had this question at least 5 times now. We don't take the position that any CUPD person should have weapons because they wouldn't be effective in deterring any person from taking violence against a student. And we believe in preventative measures.
Can I ask a point of information?
Sorry. This is Mariah. I'm dialed in, so you might not recognize my number, but what I was going to say is kind of like, just following up with that, is that like the police don't, like, if in the hypothetical you just gave, that like it's very easy to like have a weapon in your backpack and come to campus, and like, again, how would the police have stopped that? Because you just said how easy it is. Like, they would have come to campus, they would have done like very, very grave harm, and it would have been a tragedy for the campus, but like the police wouldn't have known that. The police can't stop someone from doing something that you claim is so easy to do.
Okay. Co-sponsors, I think you guys, okay, just a second. I see we have a point of information from Annie. Co-sponsors, you do have technically a minute left to respond to Zion's question. And Zion, I think if you do want to ask your question, you'd have to go on a second speaker's list. I don't think you're not really supposed to be using the chat right now. If co-sponsors do not want to respond,
I'm not sure what you want us, like what you would want the response to be, right? Like we're not police, we're not administration. Like our job is to like protect the student body within our ability. And right now the most prescient threat to the student body, particularly marginalized students, is police, with our police officers with lethal weapons, right? And we've just given you multiple instances where the possession of lethal weapons by police did not prevent a mass shooting from happening, right? And even the example you just gave, they didn't need to use their lethal weapons, right? Like, you half the hypotheticals y'all are giving are proving our own points, which is that either the lethal weapon didn't stop it from happening in the first place, or it doesn't prevent it at all. If that were to happen, God forbid, I think we would probably just be mourning, because we are also members of the student body. But yeah.
Great. Thank you, Tomas, for your response. If co-sponsor did want to finish, you guys would have like 5 to 10 more seconds. Otherwise, I'll continue with the speaker's list.
Can I ask a point of information?
Yes, Annie, I'll recognize your point of information right now.
When you say you want to get rid of weapons, when you say the word weapon, are you saying like tasers, batons, guns, like everything in that category?
Okay. Thank you for that point of information, co-sponsors.
Go ahead, Tomas.
If I find the article, I'll send it. But there was an article talking about how like the idea of non-lethal weapons is a misnomer. Because any weapon can be made lethal. There are numerous examples of Black men being killed by police using tasers, right? Because someone can have a heart attack if it's used incorrectly. There are examples of people being killed by batons. So the notion of a non-lethal weapon versus a lethal weapon is kind of misleading, because any weapon can be made lethal. So that's kind of just what I want to say. Uche can continue.
No, that hits everything.
Thank you. Okay, continuing with the speakers list, I do want to recognize that we are kind of like through our meeting. It's 5:50. The meeting officially ends at 6:30. I will likely be calling the question at 6 p.m. Okay, just so you all know. Continuing with the speakers list, Kayla, you've already spoken. Morgan, you've already spoken once. Johan, you've already spoken once. Valentina, you've already spoken once. The only SA member who has not spoken yet is Kate. Kate, I don't recognize you. You have 2 minutes to speak.
Thank you, Kat. And I also wanted to thank the presenters for not only this resolution, but also for which y'all have been doing the last couple of SA meetings, really bringing awareness about these issues. So I know that in this resolution at the end, it just says to not have any lethal weapons. So is there a way to kind of define what that means? Because I know that like Tomas said that anything can be lethal, but maybe just kind of like elaborating on what that really means so that not only us can understand, but anyone who reads the resolution could as well.
Okay. Kate, thank you for your question. Co-sponsors, if you would like to respond or answer, you have 2 minutes.
I guess we could make some amendments on like defining exactly what lethal is, but I don't think anything that, you know, a police officer is carrying is not lethal. There are some things that may be less lethal, but everything has the capacity to be lethal.
Thank you, Uche. If any other co-sponsors would like to respond, you would have a minute and 30 seconds. If not, okay, great. I'm taking a look at the speakers list right now. We have gone through the first speakers list of Student Assembly members. I will now be recognizing community members. Mm-hmm. Because we have like a limited time up in the meeting, I'm going to be limiting the speaker's time to 1 minute now. So please keep your comments brief. I will be setting time reminders in the chat, but according to Rule 5, it is at my discretion on placing time limits. So first on the speakers list is Liz. Community members, if you could please state your full name and your year for the record before you speak, that'd be great. Liz, the floor is yours. And if you don't want to speak anymore, that's all right. Just let us know. Okay, hearing no comments from Liz, I'm going to move to Raquel, the non-SA member, Raquel. Raquel, the floor is yours. You would have 1 minute. I'll send a time reminder in the chat.
All right, thank you. My last name's Hargan. I'm a sophomore. Since it's 1 minute, I'm going to try and do kind of rapid fire here, responding to some of the points. So I actually think guns do act as a deterrent if they're present. You know, security cameras exist as a deterrent for shoplifting. I think it's the same sort of deal here. Burglars are going to go after a place that doesn't have security cameras. If we don't have armed police, then we're more of a target. And then, let's see. There's been the point made a lot about how we should take preventative measures. So why wait till someone gets shot to disarm the police? But this isn't like, let's add a crosswalk here before someone gets hit by a car, because disarming the police will affect everybody. And so say we disarm the police, then say, are we going to wait for a violent crime, not necessarily a mass shooting, but any other violent crime to take place before we rearm them? Because the logic, when you flip it your way, it's flawed. And also for drugs and alcohol, there are medical amnesty laws and Good Samaritan laws, so the police don't come show Raquel. Up and shoot drunk people.
Okay, thank you. Your time is up. I will now allow co-sponsors to respond. You guys will have, yes, okay, Uche?
Can I see time to Angeliki, one of the other co-sponsors?
Yes, of course. Angeliki, yes. The floor is yours.
Thank you. I do want to point out to Raquel's point about how you do think that guns are a crime deterrent. If you read the resolution, there's actually a section that cites two studies that show that unarmed police officers are just as effective as armed police officers at deterring crime. So I want to say this is backed up by research. So yeah, that's all I had to say. Anybody else can respond?
Thank you, Angeliki. Co-sponsors, you'll have 30 more seconds if you would like to continue responding. If not, I'll continue with the speakers list. Okay. Moving forward with the speakers list, we have Dakota on the speakers list. Dakota, you have 1 minute to speak. I will send a time reminder in the chat. Please don't get over the time limit. I hate cutting people off, and I apologize if I'm doing that, but I do want to keep time. Dakota, the floor is yours.
My name is Dakota Johnson. I'm a junior at Cornell University. If something happens on campus where lives are being threatened and our police don't have their weapons on hand to respond with, do you really expect them to go back to their armory and come back to the scene within that certain amount of time? It's not practical or efficient at all. And if you're really serious about disarming them, don't you think it's more appropriate to come up with an emergency response team before disarming the police? Do you want Cornell to be completely defenseless? Who or what would you consider to be an emergency response? And don't you think they would need weapons as well? If so, what would be the point of disarming the police in the first place? I'd rather have police being armed and able to protect us at a moment's notice rather than being disarmed and useless. I've met some of the CUPD personally, and from what I've observed, none of them have a hateful or racist bone in their body. I personally don't think you should have to worry about your interactions with them based on your race or skin color. And on another note, wouldn't disarming the police make us even an easier target for people who do want to come on campus and bring us harm?
Dakota, your time is up. Thank you. Okay, co-sponsors, you will have time to respond. If you don't want to.
I guess I want to just quickly start by saying that I guess we've kind of made this point. I guess maybe this is now the sixth time that like police do not like prevent bad things from happening to us. And then I guess secondly, your point about the CUPD not being racist. I think that, like, as a white man, you are not the arbiter of, like, who is racist and, like, who is, like, a good or bad person in regards to, like, how they treat people of color. And so, like, I don't doubt that you're a human being, but, like, you are not, you cannot be the arbiter, and you will never be the arbiter of, like, who is racist and who is not racist as a white
man. I'm not claiming to be.
Dakota, please do not. Okay, as chair.
I don't appreciate this back and forth. Actually, Uche, maybe you go ahead, because I'm about to, I don't want to have to drag people on the Zoom call right now. Okay.
Correspondents, okay. You have 15 to 20 seconds left. Dakota, please do not interrupt while they're speaking. I'm going to give more time to the co-sponsors because you did interrupt, unfortunately. Uche, you have 15 to 20 seconds.
Okay. First and foremost, what I want to say is when a Black woman is speaking, you do not interrupt her. That is rude and disrespectful. And you also need to take a look at the power dynamics that come into play with you being a white man, interrupting her while she's trying to make her point when she did not interrupt you while you were making your point.
First so you're saying that based on because I'm a white man, I can't do that?
Dakota.
Don't interrupt me either. Thank you. You can keep your mic muted. Second of all, we've been making this point, this same exact point throughout this entire time, that you cannot be the arbiter. You can, just like Mariah was saying, you are not the arbiter. You are not the person who says who is and who is not racist. You have to take it, like, we really need to stop being tone deaf and start actually reading the room and look at the fact that you are a white man. You cannot tell me how I'm supposed to feel around CUPD. You cannot tell me about my lived experiences and tell me, or any other person of color on this campus who does not feel safe around CUPD, and then try and discredit that and say that just because you felt safe around CUPD for whatever reason that they shouldn't either. I just want to make that.
I'd actually like to request more time for the co-sponsors in case anybody else wants to speak. The way that we were just treated was incredibly disrespectful, and I think that we should be given another 30 or so seconds to accommodate for the fact that, like, this just happened.
Sure. Thank you, Mariah, for your motion. You may motion to request more speaking time. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. How much speaking time would you like to motion for exactly?
Maybe just 30 seconds. I don't know if there's anyone else who wants to speak, but I saw you cutting off Uche, so I just wanted to make sure that, like, if anybody else did want to speak, that they were granted that time.
For sure. As chair, I have discretion to grant more speaking time. 30 seconds for co-sponsors. And again, like, please do not interrupt the co-sponsors. I will mute you because you are not allowed to interrupt.
I just want to add, I feel like the interrupting is deeply disrespectful when no one interrupted you while you were reading the essay that you wrote throughout the meeting. So I think you should extend that same respect to the people who clearly deeply disagree with you but still allowed you to speak. And regarding the like invalidating other people's experiences, earlier Annie mentioned that she feels extremely safe when CUPD walks her home, and Uche made the effort to say, you know, I am not trying to invalidate the way you feel safe, but other people do not feel safe in that experience. Salam made an effort to say, I as a woman, as a Black woman, do not feel safe, despite the fact that you as a woman might feel that way. So it's important that, yes, that might be your experience with CUPD, but I can promise you that is not everyone's experience with CUPD. I see that you're a Marine. Your oath is to protect the Constitution, which includes people's freedom of speech. And last I checked, you took down an organization's flag, which was an exercise of freedom of speech. So maybe if you can't even hold your oath, why would police?
Great. Thank you, Tomas, for that response. Okay, a reminder, you are not members. No one may use the chat. I'm using it for time reminders. Mm-hmm. Guys, please, please, please do not use the chat. Mm-hmm. I am getting reminders from the Office of Assemblies that this is mm-hmm. not allowed because the chat is not public record. If you keep using the chat, it unfortunately will be disabled. Again, I don't want to do this, but it's just to keep everything going. Okay, the time is now 6 p.m. I'm taking a look at the speakers list really fast. Okay.
Motion to extend.
So there is you actually don't have to motion to extend just yet. We're not at our meeting time ending. I'm just looking at the speakers list to see the times. I can't see the hands really well right now. Okay, so there are a few people who have not yet had the chance to speak. So if you're on the first speakers list, I'll be recognizing you. I will preference essay members who have not spoken yet and the committee members who have not spoken yet. So I think the first on the speakers list will be Andrea, and then Sonu as the two essay members who have not had a chance to speak yet. Andrea, beginning with you, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm in my brain.
I'd really like to appreciate the sponsors of this resolution, because I do feel like it is a very bold movement. I think it addresses issues that have to be addressed more directly than ever before. But since there is a very high concern from the part of our constituents on the hypotheticals of the issue, and a lot of people have actually like reached out to me and asked about the more, instead of like the actual disarming the police, the more what about the security side of the issue, I think it'd be like probably a good idea to maybe extend the voting for the resolution to another week to get people more time to digest this, as it is a very big move. So even if, you know, it fixes a lot of issues that we are all wanting to be solved, I think that we should give like the community a bit more time to digest it, like maybe come up with like solutions to make the people feel calmer.
And, motion to table for next week.
Okay, thank you. So, denied. So there has been a motion to table. Is there a dissent?
Dissent.
Please state your dissent, Ujay.
We have been talking about this for a long amount of time. It's been going on for months, years. Police brutality, issues with policing is centuries long thing. We gave a teach-in last week. We've been talking about this for a while. Y'all have had plenty of time to look through, think about these things, reach out, talk to the constituents. This is not something that I think needs to be tabled at all.
Okay, thank you. Annie, do you withdraw your motion to table?
Oh, what happens if there was a second?
Well, because, so there was a second, but there's also dissent. So because someone has stated their dissent, you have the option to either withdraw or not withdraw. If you do not withdraw, we'll be moving into voting on whether or not to table.
I don't withdraw.
You don't withdraw? Okay. So we're going to do a vote on whether or not to table. I see there are a few multiple dissents, and again, we'll just have to vote on whether or not to table.
Chat.
Yes, Kayla.
I just have a question because I'm not familiar. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just have a question. I'm not familiar with the process. Are we able to speak on why postponing may be a good idea, or is it just straight into a vote?
Parliamentarian Stefanko, are you here?
Yes, Kat.
Great. Thanks, Michael. So I do believe that because we already have made the motion to vote, technically, I don't think we're in discussion anymore on whether or not to vote to vote. Michael,
I'm pretty sure you go straight into a vote. I can go read the rules right now, but that's pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's what we're
supposed to do. Great. Thank you to our parliamentarian. So we will be moving into a vote to vote. This will require, yes, Mariah, is that a point of information?
Yeah, yes. This is a point of information to Kayla's point, and I guess to Michael's point, maybe if you're going to read the rules and double check, but I thought that Kayla is right that, like, isn't there a discussion on whether or not we should, like, once there's dissent, and the dissent, and then the original motion was not retracted, like, I think that there's conversation on whether or not to proceed, right?
Michael?
I can go check right now, if we can.
I have a feeling you're right, Mariah. And I think if we do check the Roberts rules, that we will technically be in discussion, actually.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not exactly sure either, but I thought that there was a discussion on like the vote to vote.
Does anyone have Roberts rules up? Anybody remember from our orientation in the beginning of this year? It's okay if the answer is no.
Sorry, just to point out information, as per my last year's essay experience, this discussion never happened if there's a dissent raised. So we probably wouldn't enter a discussion section just to discuss if there's a need for table.
Thank you, Johan. I'm going to give our parliamentarian some seconds to review Robert's rules.
I feel like based on the time constraints of this, it's going to be kind of hard to get a definitive answer quickly. But I guess the purpose of tabling is to debate further. So it would be strange to me if we were debating further debate. But I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna take a second.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Do people still want to debate whether or not to move into voting on whether or not to table? Mm-hmm. I see one thumbs up that says that you would like to debate on whether or not to table. Okay, as chair, I'm going to allow a debate for 3 minutes on whether, this is a debate on whether or not to table. We can extend that time if needed. And Michael, if it turns out the rules do not allow for a debate, just let me know ASAP. Okay. I'm now, okay. So now we are debating on whether or not to table the resolution. And we still have an existing speakers list from the presentation. I think we're going to actually have to clear that, okay? So I'm going to clear the hands that have been raised from the speakers list on the resolution. Right now, we're only debating whether or not we should be tabling, voting to table on this. Okay, clear all. And if you would like to debate this, please raise your hand. Just kidding. In Robert's Rules, it says tabling is not debatable. Okay, thank you to the SA member who sent that to me privately. So we will actually not be debating this. We're going to move it straight into a vote on whether or not to table this. Okay. Okay. I heard a point of information. I'm not sure who it came from. Please state your point of information.
Kayla Butler. My point of information is I checked out a few of the school examples that were posed in the resolution. And the resolution is incredibly misleading. I love the resolution. I love what you're trying to do. Unfortunately, Yale and Harvard have not officially disbanded, and Cortland released a 28-page report explaining and doing months and months of research. I just want us to keep that in mind that other schools have done much more or haven't disbanded at all.
Okay, Kayla, thank you. Yes, Jay, your point of information is recognized.
Thank you. First of all, yeah, none of this is misleading. We've done our research on this, so I don't know where you're looking, but I'd love to see those links if you could drop them in the chat, drop them to any one of the co-sponsors, but we've done a lot of research. None of this is misleading. Probably just reading it wrong. Thank you.
I'm not saying that you haven't done research. I'm saying that a lot of it isn't
going to
be research. But I will be cutting off this back and forth. Also, just to clarify, we're about to move into voting. We will not be doing point of information. So that's not about voting, okay? Okay. So everyone, please vote in the chat.
Can you explain what yes and what no means?
Yes. So if you're voting yes, then that means that you're voting to table the resolution for next meeting. If you're voting no, then you are not voting to table the resolution.
So you would be voting no means you want to vote today?
Yes. Voting no means that we will return to the discussion on the resolution and we will be voting today.
Wait, okay. Can I make a point of information, or can I just ask a question? I don't know if it's a point.
I'll allow a quick question. Yes, Mariah?
Yeah, well, this is about the voting, because I didn't know that what you just described is what we were voting. I thought that this is voting on whether or not to vote on tabling, or am I misinformed?
I think we're...
And this is actually a vote to table?
It's a vote to table next week, yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to close voting in 40 seconds. Zion, as you're not an SA member, I will not be recognizing your point of information. Also, we're in the middle of voting, so I can't recognize anything. If you're proxy voting, just privately message me. Michael, as parliamentarian, does a vote to table need a majority or a two-thirds?
Majority.
Majority, thank you. Can I do one quick check-in with Michael, our parliamentarian? Okay, so I'm being, So just to clarify, going back, so because there was a dissent from Uche, I do believe that this should be a vote on whether or not to vote. Someone correct me if that's wrong.
Well, isn't that what I just said?
And yeah, I didn't understand at first, but now I'm like understanding.
Okay, I mean, Michael told me I was wrong.
Michael, because we had a dissent, we're like voting on whether or not to vote. Okay, I'm going to clear the votes and then we're going to vote on whether or not to vote to table this, okay? This is not a vote to table. I apologize for the confusion. I understand this is confusing for everyone. I'm going to clear the votes and we're going to vote on whether or not to vote to table. If you're voting,
can you explain what?
Yes. If you're voting yes, that means that that means that you believe that we should vote on whether or not to table. And if you vote no, that means you don't believe that we should vote on whether or not to table. This is not the vote to table in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'm going to close voting in 30 seconds. And I'm pretty sure vote to vote needs 2/3.
All right, everybody, Kat's computer just died, so I'm going to chair and I'm going to close up voting in 30 seconds. Also, yeah, my computer's about to die as well, so I'm going to plug it in.
Hey, everyone. So my laptop just died. I am super sorry about that. I'm zooming in from a member's laptop right now. Okay, just a second. Where are we on the vote right now? Again, this is like literally the worst timing ever. I'm so sorry about this. Okay. I'm looking at the vote count and I actually can't count them because I'm not host anymore, but it looks like the vote to vote did pass. Great. Okay, thank you. Someone just made. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if it did pass.
Sorry, I can't see the vote counts yet, but yes.
Estefania, I think, who's proxy voting? Estefania is proxy voting for Lucy. And the totals are 18-9, which I guess is 2/3, but I think some people just removed their vote.
Okay, great. SA members, please keep your votes consistent. I'm going to keep voting open for 10 more seconds. Please cast your vote right now. And if you're proxy voting, can you DM like Layla privately on this the chat? Is someone proxy voting for Lucy?
Estefania is proxy voting for Lucy.
Great. Estefania, can you privately message me Lucy's vote? Privately message Layla, please. Okay, so according to the vote count, it is 18 yes and 9 no because Estefania is proxy voting for Lucy. So I believe this motion does not pass because it will require a 2/3 vote. So we will be returning to discussion. Michael, where are we in the process right now?
Wouldn't we just be going back to the original vote because you're saying that this has to be 2/3?
Yes.
Pass?
Great. Okay. So we're back where we began. I do believe that we're voting. Okay. Are we in voting right now? No. Okay.
We'll debate unless you call it to voting.
Okay. As chair, I'm going to invoke rule number 6 of our standing rules. I would like to call the question on the resolution, but I will also be open to not doing that. This means that I would look favorably upon a motion to vote because it is 6:15 and we have to go in 15 minutes.
Motion to vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Kat, can I motion to do a roll call vote?
Wait, sorry, can you repeat that?
Motion to do a roll call vote.
Okay, sure. So there has been a motion to do a roll call vote. Is there a second to that?
Seconded.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay, please state your dissent, whoever that was.
I believe there are a lot of energized constituents be present today. And I believe there hasn't been some point being addressed yet. So I believe the better course for the assembly is still table the resolution and wait till next week. So I would like to raise my dissent and see if we can do a revote on that.
Clarify, that is not a dissent to the roll call vote. Do you have a dissent to the roll call vote? If not,
I have a dissent to the vote.
Okay, to the vote or the roll call vote?
Because to vote in general.
You would have had to dissent earlier, I'm sorry. But okay, there is dissent technically. We will now be moving into a vote on vote to vote, okay? This will require another 2/3 vote. I believe, Michael, again, correct me if that's wrong. SA members, please cast your votes in the chat. I'm gonna let Layla vote right now. But if you vote yes, This means that we will be moving into a roll call vote. And if you vote no, this means you will not be moving into roll call vote. I'm trying to get my laptop up and running again. I'm sorry.
So, sorry, Kat, point of information.
We're in voting right now, actually. So you can raise your point of information after voting is finished. I'll be closing voting in 30 seconds.
No, my dissent is not about dissent on roll call vote. My dissent is about voting in general.
Okay.
Wait, but Kat, didn't you just tell him that it was too late for that? He had to have done that at the original motion.
Yeah, sorry.
Wait, I'm still confused why 18 yes and 9 no wasn't 2/3.
Sorry, I can't do math.
That is 2/3.
Because 18 divided by 28 is 64%, which is not 2/3. Like 2 out of 3 is not 64%. It would have needed to be there needed to be at least a vote or two more.
But 18 plus 9 is 27, so 18 out of 27 is 2/3.
No, there are 28 people.
Pat said there was 28 at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay, Parliamentarian Michael, can you please comment on this?
Yeah, how many people do we have in the total of the meeting?
Can someone count right now?
Stephania is proxy voting. Yeah,
Mardia is actually here.
It's 28.
And Banda Stephania is proxy voting on top of that.
Yeah, Kat, your abstention counts as a no vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Well, I mean, functionally as a no vote, but you need 2/3 of the body that's present.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, my computer. I'm getting it.
Is it 20? Do we have 28 or 27 people here?
28.
28 with Kat? Yeah, so then it doesn't pass. And yeah, I mean, if we're being consistent, I'm really not sure about the 2/3 thing, but if we're being consistent with 2/3, then it's the same 2/3 for now, too. So.
Great. Thank you all. So I'm looking at the vote counts. So technically, we had moved into a vote to vote, and it was a vote to vote on whether or not to do a roll call vote. There had been dissent earlier, but had not been stated before. So right now I'm looking at the vote on whether or not to do a roll call vote. Please cast your votes in like the next 10 seconds.
I have a question though. So if this wins, so if we don't if the answer is no, will we just table the event automatically or will we not table the event?
Thank you for your question. We'll be returning. If this does not pass, then we will be returning to discussing the resolution. Also, just letting you all know, I have to, I have a strict go at 10 minutes. So at 6:30, I will be passing chairmanship off to Noah Watson, our executive vice president, if this continues, okay?
Can ex officio motion to extend the meeting?
I think
I don't know.
Michael?
Not sure on that one.
All right, I'm just going to motion. Can I motion to extend the meeting by 15 minutes?
Okay, we can motion to extend the meeting after we're done voting.
Oh, sorry, we're still in
voting. Yeah, no worries. No worries. Okay. Has everyone cast their vote as an SA member? Layla, do you want to vote? Just kidding, you did. Okay. So the vote is 10 to 16 to, I guess, 1. I don't know how many SA members we don't have. So this vote does not pass. Okay. So now I believe this just means we will not be doing a roll call vote, but we can still motion to vote. Yes? Or we can still be voting. Thank you, Michael, for your nods. Okay, so there has been a motion to vote. Was there a second? I just want to redo this again just to make it clear.
Dissent.
Okay, so there is dissent. Thank you, Annie. Please state your dissent.
If we're not going to table this, I think more time needs to be spent on discussion.
Okay, thank you for stating your dissent. Is there any more dissent?
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree as well.
Great. Thank you for sharing your dissents. This means we will now be moving again into a vote on whether or not to vote. So, SA members, please cast your votes on
Yes. Can you give Andrea the chance to withdraw her motion so that way we don't have to vote again?
Sure. Andrea, do you withdraw your motion?
I'm sorry. I got confused again. So, what are we waiting for right now?
Okay. Michael, do you want to talk about this a little bit as parliamentarian?
Yeah. So, okay, we're in an interesting spot with this 2/3 thing. We are motioning there's a dissent on a motion to vote, and we are voting to vote to vote, as far as I understand it. I'm a little bit lost on this last one, though.
Yeah, so right now, as I'm understanding it, we're taking a vote to vote. So Andrea, you motioned to vote, Annie dissented, and you can withdraw your motion, and we don't have to vote to vote, and then we would vote. So I'm just saying, like, if you want to withdraw, you can, and we can just go back into, I think then we would just, wait, what does happen then? Is it discussion again?
It would be discussion, and someone would have to make another motion to vote.
Yeah, yeah, it would be discussion, and then there would be option for another motion. So if you want to, like, cut with all this, like, bureaucratic BS, you can just, like, withdraw your motion. Sorry.
Okay, but I didn't motion anything. I only asked for a table, like, to postpone it for next week.
That's a motion to table.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a motion to table.
Okay, so if I withdraw it, we wouldn't be discussing it next week?
Yes.
So if I withdraw, we are not discussing it next week. Like, we would be voting today.
Yes.
I don't think I want to withdraw. A lot of people are, like, really hesitant. Yeah.
Great. So we will be, again, voting on whether or not to vote. SA members, please cast your votes using yes or no. And again, I'm going to be leaving in like 7 minutes. I'm really sorry about this.
Sorry, just to clarify, we're voting on whether we want to vote for the motion today.
Yes.
Is a roll call vote anything to do with this?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Wait, sorry. Can you please clarify what yes and no are?
Sure, Morgan. So if you're voting yes, that means that you are voting yes, that we should be voting on this today. We'll be voting on this soon. And if you vote no, you do not believe that we should be voting on this today. And again, don't use the chat, guys. Nobody. I'm going to close voting in 15 seconds. Only SA voting members may vote. If you're going to abstain, please message me privately. Don't message Layla anymore. Okay, and I have received a proxy vote. Thank you. Okay, so with a proxy vote, the vote count is 7-21, I believe, with a proxy vote 2-1. So this vote fails, which means we will be returning to discussion on the resolution. Okay. I am going to, as chair, I would look favorably upon a motion to recess, honestly, just because I do have to leave. And in this recess, I would pass chairmanship off to Noah Watson, our executive vice president. Is there a motion? If not, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, motion to recess.
Okay, we're going to recess. Is there a second?
Okay.
Thank you. So there has been a motion to recess. Recess for like 3 to 5 minutes. I would encourage everyone to take a step away from your computers for a second, drink some water, because I do have to leave this meeting. I'm passing chairmanship off to Noah Watson. I'm so sorry to have to go right now, but I do have a prior commitment that I can't leave. Okay.
I don't know if it's too late to do this, but co-sponsors decided we'll just do a motion to table, since that's what so many people seem to want, and that way everyone can be here for the vote.
Okay, I'm going to retract my motion to recess then. Okay.
It's on the table to next week.
Okay, thank you. Is there any dissent to this motion to table? Seeing as there's no dissent, SA voting members, please vote in the chat on whether, if you vote yes, this means that you approve of the motion to table to next week. If you vote no, this means you do not approve this motion. I'm going to close voting in 10 seconds. If you have to leave like I do, please message someone to proxy vote for you. And you can privately message me and then privately message Noah once he starts chairing. Okay. I'm going to close voting. I think voting is actually already done. Let's see. Okay, with a vote of 22, wait. Okay, sorry, I'm looking at the proxy. I'm still receiving proxy votes right now. Okay, with a vote of 25-3-2-1, this motion passes. So this means that we have motion to table. It has been approved, which means that this resolution is now tabled to next week. Thank you all for that. We'll now be moving into the next resolution on the agenda, which is, I believe, Uche's resolution, resolution number 12. I'm going to head out right now. Have a good weekend, everyone. Noah, you have the chair now.
Yep. Okay, Uche, do you want to introduce your resolution for all of us?
So this resolution is pretty quick. This has to do with Appendix B of the Student Assembly Charter. So every even-numbered year or non-fee-setting year, we do off-year reporting for byline-funded organizations or entities that get a direct cut from the student activity fee. So in Appendix B, I made a just because, of the times that we're in, we're in the middle of a pandemic, people are super stressed right now, and that also extends to people who are running these organizations, the treasurers, the presidents, the advisors. One of the, in a normal year, we would require them to come in and give an oral presentation, I was thinking that it would be better if instead of requiring them, we make it optional unless the Appropriations Committee mandates them to come in to discuss any discrepancies that we have with like their budgets or any of the information that they send us. So it's just an effort to make things a little bit easier on byline orgs just for this school year.
Perfect. Thank you, Uche. And I will be taking a speakers list if anybody has any questions. But if not, then we can just move into voting.
Sorry for interrupting you. Motion to vote.
Thank you. Can I get a second for that?
Seconded.
Any dissent? Nope, seeing no dissent, we're going to move into voting. I'm going to give everybody 1 minute to cast their vote. After that, I will not be taking any more. And if you are proxy voting for someone, please message me. Okay. Okay, we're going to end voting. By a vote of 23-0-4, this resolution passes. Congrats, Uche. And if you could just present your last one on the agenda.
Yeah, so the last resolution is also... the last resolution is also for next week. It's also supposed to be really quick. This is just approving the budget for... the student assembly and our committees. So I don't know if y'all have the resolution pulled up, but I put together the proposal for the budget. This is normally how it looks in a few years. The only thing that has changed is I added support accounts for the Office of the Student Advocate, OSGR, and the Research and Accountability Committee. So other than that, that is pretty much it. This should have been passed at the beginning of school year, but things were shut down. So doing it now.
Thank you, Uche. If anybody has any questions, please raise your hand and I'll put you on the speakers list. And seeing no questions, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote. Andrea, do you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I saw that the Environmental Committee also has a budget of their own. I would like to know what that goes into, if that's okay.
The Environmental Committee. So the budgets for each of the committees, that's to the discretion of the committee chairs. So if it could be a range of things, if the committee chair decides they want to, pay for a website to like OSGR does, or if they want to pay for, a Zoom conference call or whatever, like it's really up to the discretion of the committee members, or if they want to play for advertisements for the committee or something like that, or whatever it may be. It's a long range of things, but it's up to the discretion of the committee and the needs that they feel that, or any needs that they feel that they have.
Thank you. Could I ask a second question, or is that?
Okay.
So seeing that, you know, like these are pretty unpredictable times, if any committee or if any body of, you know, the SA would need an extension of money or like more money when it comes, when the time comes, could they ask for it?
They potentially could.
Okay, yes. Great. Thank you.
Okay, and with that, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote.
Motion to vote.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Seconded.
Any dissent? Nope, seeing no dissent, we're going to move into voting. I'll give you guys all 1 minute. If you are proxy voting for someone, please message me privately. Okay, by a vote of 22-0-5, this motion passes. And with that, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn for the evening.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Awesome. Okay, I'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.